If your wife has ever said, come move this transmission so I can take a bath. You might be.
Ron Ananian.
What's your name again?
Well, it depends. What was my name again?
Ron Ananian.
Yeah, Ron Ananian. The Car Doctor.
You don't dig until the day you die.
It's all according to how your boogaloo situation stands, you understand?
Well, do I have a problem with the immobilizer?
No, immobilizer on this car will keep it from starting. It'll keep it from cranking.
Nothing with the fuel pump.
Right, nothing with the fuel pump.
Welcome to the radio home of Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now, here's Ronnie.
Hey, it's time to start your engines, and in case they don't, you definitely want to stick around for the next 2 hours. Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor, at your service at 855-560-9900. More information over at cardoctorshow.com, as well as the ability to stream this radio show live, as well as the ability to download podcasts, along with, we've made it available for you in all the usual places, TuneIn, iTunes, iHeartRadio, so you can take us with you wherever you want to go, and we thank you for that. We appreciate your efforts as we continue to sally forth and try and repair all these broken cars on an every day, every week basis. And we just want to be here for you. That's what this radio show is all about, 855-560-9900. The phones are stacked and backed up. Now, without any further ado, let's open the phones, and we're going to go to a very special conversation with us today. Jerry Trulia from the folks over at Technician Service Training. He is putting on a seminar, an event. Is what it is, the big event next weekend in Westchester, New York. And Jerry is the godfather of automotive training. I've said that for years, and I've taken classes with Jerry, and I've learned a lot from Jerry, and it's an absolute honor to have him here with the Car Doctor, and we're going to be with him next week. Jerry, G, welcome aboard, sir.
How are you, Ron?
Good, man. What's going on?
So, getting ready for the TST big event. This is our 14th year doing it, and, of course, it's on Saturday, March the 25th. As you said, in Westchester County at the Marriott Hotel.
And, you know, this is a grassroots effort, Jerry. I don't mean to insult it like that, but you've done this from your repair shop in Mayopac, New York, is where all this started, a lot of this started, correct? And over the years, grown into this mammoth, you know, guys on the West Coast know who G. Trulia is.
That's true.
It's guys around the world know who G. Trulia is. Some good, some bad, but you know, for the boy from New York, you've grown to accomplish quite a bit, and next week you're attracting quite a few national speakers, trainers, guys that are in this industry and known around this industry, the likes of, and you know, tell us who they are.
Yeah, we're starting off with Tom Rake. Tom is an unbelievable instructor. He's from Ohio. And he is the lead guy for NAPA. He's doing a great seminar on electrical world-class diagnostics, a brand-new seminar that's not even out yet. It will be debuted here and then go out to other places. Then we have my buddy Wayne Colonna from ATSG. If you have problems with the transmission,
he's the guy.
My God, this is where the professionals go.
Yeah.
Wayne is just unbelievable. He'll be doing a seminar on CVT drivability diagnostics. And, you know, what people don't realize, transability and drivability are hand-in-hand, meaning a transmission problem could be caused by an engine problem and vice versa. So technicians nowadays need to be astute in how to diagnose these problems, not necessarily how to rebuild the transmission, but is it an issue coming from this transmission causing my, hesitation or my lurk or, you know, it could be an idle problem.
Or my misfire.
Fuel speed fences and misfires.
Right,
all cause different problems.
Yeah, it's the two really are hand in hand now. They're married together.
So that's going to be a great seminar. And then we have at lunchtime the keynote speaker, Scott Brown, my buddy from California out there, from IATN. We met years back when he was on for techs only on CompuServe before IATN. because him and Brent Black put IATN together. And if I'm not mistaken, they got 80,000 plus members worldwide.
All technicians, we should point out.
Oh, yes. These are all professional people.
These are all, you know, when we say 80,000, that's 80,000 professionals repairing cars every day. So, you know, for the guys in the audience out there, the technicians out there that may not be a member of IATN, you know, you've got the wealth of information that's there is staggering. It's just
unbelievable.
So,
and really, then, it's something they should check out. You can go and look at it, I believe, still for free. And then if you become a member, it's a minimal amount to pay to get all the
lots of information. And then who's rounding out the crowd this year?
Then we got my buddy from Arizona, Mark Warren, lead guy for Whirlpack, has been around for years. In fact, you know, we had him back here when he was still with ASA years back, writing articles. And Mark has been out about 20 years ago, came out and did some classes for us. Really sharp guy. You know, ran a shop for years, and now he runs the Whirlpack training. He's doing engine and turbocharging diagnostics.
And this is all being done through technician service training, which is your little baby here, right, Jerry? I mean, you guys created this, and it's a program to train the industry.
That is absolutely correct. You know, and it's a non-for-profit group, not to be confused with, you know, people think I do it with my ATTS, Automotive Technician Service Company. That's where I make money. Here's where myself, and we have about six people now that help us down from 20, but it is a society or a group of individuals that take their own time to really help the industry out. The industry has been very good to me over the years, from doing radio shows, TV, internet, you name it, writing for different magazines, currently writing for Motor Age. I'm one of the fortunate guys, so I like giving back to the industry. And this is a great thing because it's training. And if we update people, they won't evaporate. And that seems to be a major problem with people in this industry. If they're not up to date, look at the complexity of the vehicle. Autonomous cars out there. I mean, just go to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and you want to see a bunch of autonomous cars out there, from Alphabet, which is the Google parent company. You want to see Lyft, which is part of the GM thing, and you want to see Uber. They're there. And these things are going to be, you know, in people's shop because they're still going to need to fix them.
Yep.
And maybe you may be the owner of it because I know who your audience is.
Right, yeah.
You may own one of these things where maybe you don't like driving a lot. You want the car to drive you.
And it's absolutely there. My daughter's in Pittsburgh, and she says the car goes by, you pull up to a traffic light, and there's this thing with all these antennas sticking out of it, and it pulls up next to you, and you're looking over, and there's nobody in the car. And she said it's absolutely spooky. She said it's just like Star Trek. It just makes her really think of where the future is going to be. And you're the guy helping train the technicians for that stuff, Jerry. And that's just huge. You know, and that's what next week is about, really, the future and getting these guys up to speed so they can be around.
It's real good, Ron. You know, we started out originally from SAE group called Service Technician Society, STS, a little different than TST, reverse lettering there. But to be honest with you, I was the last president of STS, and unfortunately, you know, the technician group is a very tough group, and SAE put a lot of money into it and didn't get the people out to the party, per se.
Right.
You know, we did an event with Holly Puglisi from EPA years back, Mark Warren, myself, a few other speakers down in Yonkers, New York. We maybe had a few hundred people out at that time. And, you know, they weren't able to make money at it. So when they decided to basically stop supporting the technicians, we took over with our own money. This started from myself and 19 other individuals, Pierre Respeau, Rich Peterson, where we put our money in to pay the first instructor, and the first guy we had out was Sam Bell, who writes for Moda magazine and also runs a shop in Ohio. And every month, we were doing 12 months a year, then we cut down with the summer months to 10 months. We did that for years, and now we offer training six times a year. And this big event, I started that 14 years ago. It's our 14th big event. Last year, 350 people attended, 365 signed up and paid. This year, we have over 400 with 21 vendors. The Car Doctor Radio Show, yourself will be there.
Yeah, we're going to be there next week, yep.
Tom Caprietto from Remarkable Results will also be there. And just unbelievable people. There's other instructors sitting in, like Donnie Safer and others that are not even teaching. They come out to this event because they know it is a very good thing for people in our business to help them move themselves up the ladder. And it is the biggest single training event in one room. So there are bigger training events out with multiple rooms, but this is the biggest, again, in one room. It'll have the most people, technicians in one room, getting great information. They get three manuals, color newsletter. They got a chance, by the way, this year. We're going to send two people round-trip tickets, hotel, food, some spending money to Chicago for Auto Mechanica in July.
Which is the next biggest training event.
Yeah.
Right.
Just people walk through that door and bingo. As long as they meet our criteria, which is either being ASC certified, taking three training classes a year, and we spell that all out.
So yeah.
It's fair for anyone who attends.
So,
plenty of prizes from our vendors. I mean, last year, over $30,000 of equipment and tools given away at that event.
So suffice it to say for the audience, you know, a portion of our audience is obviously, you know, the consumers and the people that aren't fixing cars. What they want to do is they want to ask their technicians, they want to ask their repair shop, hey, did you go to the TST big event? Because I want to know if you're being trained or not. How are you getting trained? And that's what the consumers out there want to know. And our technicians in the audience, they want to get out to the website, sign up, and be part of this event next weekend.
That is true, Ron. And, you know, we have people now signed up from Canada. We have about three, four people. And we got 19 other states, including the state of California, Idaho, and you name it, 19 other states.
Wow.
But not just from the area here. You know, in the past, we've gotten some people from Australia to come in, a guy from Africa last year. In fact, I just seen that individual at another place. He only had the spending, the money to spend on one event this year.
And he's so, coming to you, yeah. Hey, yeah. G, the clock's going to take me. Where can the listeners, that's okay. Where can the technicians get information for this? What's the website?
www.tstseminars.org. That's tstseminars.org.
Perfect, and we'll give that out again during this hour. Jerry, I'll see you next weekend, babe. Thanks for the invite, and looking forward to it. You take good care. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. We'll be back right after this. Hey, welcome back. Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor here. Let's get over real quick to Lauren in Seattle, 86 Toyota 22RE, and some problems with a rough idle. Lauren, welcome to the Car Doctor.
Hey, Ron, how are you doing?
Good. What's going on?
Well, so, yeah, I've got this 86 Toyota pickup. It only has 87,000 miles on the clock, and everything is going pretty well except for this one problem that's been kind of creeping up, getting a little bit worse and worse. It's an idle issue, and sort of what's going on is the when the car is warming up at a higher idle, you know, around 1,000 or 1,100 RPMs, I don't notice it. But then as soon as the truck is warm, the idle will kind of drop a little bit sometimes, and I'll get a bit of a shuddering. It usually drops between like 750 and 600 RPMs.
Right.
And if I go to the back,
it'll drop to drop to 750, 600 RPM.
Well, from my understanding, it's supposed to idle at 750.
Right. That's what I'm asking. It'll drop to 750 or 600. Right. It won't drop 700. Right. Okay. Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Continue.
Yeah. No worries. So if I go to the back and I listen at the exhaust pipe, it you know, most of the time it's purring, but then occasionally there'll be a little kind of hiccup.
Right.
And it's not, it's very intermittent. Like sometimes it'll go pop, 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 and sometimes it'll idle for a while and then I'll hear it. So I did a full tune-up with the new spark plugs, wires. I put in a distributor cap. I replaced the PCV valve and the grommet. I put in a new O2 sensor. I did a valve clearance adjustment. I'm currently, actually this morning, I was I pulled the throttle body and am cleaning that off. And I wanted to get your opinion on what you think might be going on before I bring it into my mechanic.
What's common with these, generally a rough idle complaint on one of these, is the engine is running lean. Now, it can be some of the things you're talking about as far as valve adjustment. It can be vacuum leaks, obviously the basic things, the things that we know forever and a day. What I would do if it was in the shop is I have a bottle of propane set up. For regular listeners of the show, they know this story. It's a bottle of propane on a regulator with a pinched brake line that I use to just give a little spritz of propane at a calibrated value and just enriching the mixture a little bit. Does it smooth out the idle? Not flood it to the point where it stalls, but just give it a little taste of propane. Is it looking for fuel? If it's looking for fuel and the idle quality improves, then okay, I've got to start chasing what's making it running lean. And, you know, it could be anything from restrictions in the injectors. It is older, even though it has low mileage. It could be carbon deposits. I've seen the connections at the injectors be a problem where every once in a while one injector won't fire correctly, hence your puh-puh-puh-puh, right? I've also seen quite a few bad mass air or air mass sensors, which is what they're referred to in 86, an air mass sensor be a fault and cause a lean condition. Those are common.
Okay, with the I was thinking about, you know, checking for vacuum leaks using propane or something like that. In terms of richening up a little bit, where would I run the propane through? Right at the
air intake snorkel.
At the air intake?
Sure. Yeah, before the air mass meter, the propane's not going to bother the air mass meter. It's just going to get ingested into the engine as fuel. Now, also keep in mind, in 86, the air mass meter had a higher authority over fuel control and fuel delivery than the O2 to a large degree. So the fact that it has an O2, one of the things you can do is hook up a digital voltmeter or a scope, depending upon what you have. Watch that O2 sensor. When you give it propane, you should see the subsequent change. You should see, you know, an immediate response on the voltmeter where the O2 signal gets pinned over a volt or close to a volt, 9/10 of a volt. 9/10 to a volt would probably be about where you'd want to be as a new sensor, so it might even go a little bit higher. But my point is that, you know, you're going to be able to see, here's the cause, here's the effect, and see if that richening it up does make a difference.
Okay, yeah, and when I pulled the throttle body and looked inside of the intake plenum, there's quite a bit of sooty deposit in there.
Right. So then that brings us to the last part of this before the clock takes me, Lauren, is, you know, think about carbon deposits in the engine. And, you know, here's a case where a can of Berryman B12 Chem Tool with Hess technology. Dump a can of that in. You can find it at O'Reilly Auto Parts. And follow that, and you might find a difference. You probably will in terms of carbon deposit to cleaning up the engine. So do that. Give me a call. We'll go from there. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. We're back right after this. Welcome back. Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. You know, OBD2 has to be the hot-button topic. We talk about it all the time here on the radio show, and it's one of the most common questions. What is it? How do I look at it? Why do I need an OBD2 scan tool? And what am I really looking for? How much money do I need to spend? Well, we've turned to one of the industry's experts, Jennifer Grabowski. She's product manager for the folks over at Bosch, and she's in charge of the Actron scan tool line, and we thought we would reach out to Jennifer today and have a conversation about OBD2, and she's here with us on the phone. Jennifer, welcome aboard.
Hi, thanks, Ron. Thanks for having me.
So, OBD2. You know, in language that, well, mom could understand. I've always related it to that. You know, if my mom can get it, anybody can get it. And that's not a knock on mom. She's 93 and she's still sharp as a tack. So, you know, what is OBD2 to my car? What does it mean?
Well, OBD is onboard diagnostics. It's basically a government standard that all vehicles 1996 and newer that are sold in the United States must meet the standards. And it's basically an emissions, anything related to the emissions, your checked engine light would come on if it doesn't meet the standards.
So, you know, for someone out there driving a car that they're tooling along and the check engine light's on, that's an emissions issue. That's got nothing to do with vehicle maintenance.
That's correct. Yeah, it is an emission standard with the OBD2 and that specifically, the check engine light coming on in the vehicle.
So Harry homeowner's driving his Buick, and the check engine light comes on. He's got a couple of choices. He's either going to look at it himself, or he's going to take it into his mechanic and let the mechanic look at it. And you know, if he's going to look at it, you know, if he wants to do it, what are some of the things he needs to be aware of? You know, how can he get into that OBD2 connector?
Well, there's several options. You know, there's really inexpensive tools for $40, $50. If you just want to read the code, get the information about the code itself and the vehicle, and turn off the light, say, versus you could spend several hundred dollars. Maybe you want to read live data. Maybe you want to read also ABS codes and definitions, or perhaps airbags. It depends on your level of information, knowledge, what else you might want to do with the vehicle, but there's from a basic tool all the way to several hundred dollars you could spend.
And the difference between OBD2 and, let's say, I buy a Tech 2, which is dealer level scan tool, or a Ford dealer level scan tool, or a Chrysler. The difference between a manufacturer specific tool and OBD2 is what?
Well, for one thing, a lot of money, right?
It's right.
Several thousand dollars to buy a Tech 2 or those products. But they have a lot of information available to them, from looking at your instrument cluster panel to turning on actuators and switches in the vehicle, a lot of information that might not be necessary for a DIYer. Depending on the level of information, again, that you know, you probably just need a $50, maybe $150 tool that can do a lot of great things with turning on, at least seeing the information about what is going on with the car, turning off the light, and again, reading live data. You can see your RPMs, your coolant temperature. You can see all those things with a basic code reader or scan tool. You don't need a several thousand dollar tool. For most people, that is not a requirement, unless maybe you're fixing everybody's car in the neighborhood or something like that.
Right.
You really don't need anything
right.
like that.
And, you know, in reality, OBD2, even for the professional repair shop, in this mechanic's opinion, and I think in yours, is the place to start, correct? Check engine light comes on. The first thing a repair shop should be doing is looking at OBD2, because that's where there's going to be quite a bit of information that the manufacturer may not necessarily have.
Yeah, I mean, usually that is what they do. They, when you first take in a car, if it has that check engine light on, or maybe even it doesn't, they might see what pending codes there are or what codes are coming up with the vehicle and what could be causing an issue with the vehicle when you're taking it in somewhere. So you can always, again, check with an inexpensive tool, or get a more expensive one with a little more extra bells and whistles, or perhaps like information on what's the most likely cause of the code. We have information called Code Connect that basically gives you kind of like the next step. It's the most prioritized, what is the most likely cause of that check engine light? Is it just a loose wire, maybe? Maybe you just loosen the gas cap and it's not tightened enough. It'll give you information to that extent about the code and about the vehicle.
So we know now, the listeners now know that, you know, OBD2 is really a form of communication mandated by the government for emissions and vehicle general state of health in that area. They know they've got to plug in. They decide after the show today, and Jennifer will be real happy, they're all going to run out and buy a scan tool. And one guy's got $50, the other guy's got $150, and another guy's got $300. Fair range?
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, there's different tools for different levels and different requirements of information that you want to get. If you just want a code, $40, $50 tool, you'd probably have to look up that tool code online, versus if you want the ABS, airbags, Code Connect information, likely fixes, it's a little more expensive for that kind of tool, as well as live data.
Well, you get what you pay for, and listen, fixing cars,
exactly.
Nobody ever said it was going to be cheap. So Code Connect. Let's talk about that. That seems to be the premier tool over at Actron. Is that correct?
Yes. We offer this information. It is included in the database of the tool on several of our more expensive tools. It also gives the likely cause. It has over 26 million fixes within the database itself, and it's adding on all the time. And it's basically from text calling into a hotline and getting information about how to fix their vehicles, and they log all this data, and we make it available to the DIYer. It basically gives you the most likely cause of that check engine light. Again, is it to replace the O2 sensor? Maybe it's a wire that's usually loose on the vehicle, or perhaps it's, again, the gas cap that is causing that light to turn on.
Wow. Great, and that's available. So in other words, the $300 tool will have Code Connect in it. Code Connect is a database of repair information of known pattern failures and fixes to help that the person with that particular vehicle as they plug in and tell it. It's a 2006 Buick and so on.
That is correct. Yep, they wouldn't be included in anything of our over $200 tools, as well as we also offer a U-Scan product, it's called, and it works with your smartphone. If you don't want to have maybe you don't want to have the handheld tool, you want to have your smartphone, you get a little dongle or plug, if you will, that plugs into your vehicle. It pairs with your device, your iPhone or Google phone, and gives you the information that way. And it has you get one Code Connect vehicle free. And then if you like that information, you can, for a nominal fee, get additional Code Connect for all vehicles or one vehicle. So you can choose if you want to pay for that additional information, but the base unit itself is still under $100.
Wow.
So you could see it and then decide if you would want more.
A lot of technology for $100, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So where can the listeners get more information, Jennifer?
Actron.com. We have all kinds of information about our tool, our full line, from the basic code reader all the way up to our Code Connect ABS airbag tools.
Actron.com, and Actron is part of the Bosch family of diagnostics. And
that is correct.
You know, obviously, we all know who Bosch is, and we know what they represent and what they bring to the table to this industry. Jennifer, I want to thank you for taking the time today and helping enlighten everybody about OBD2, and we look forward to talking to you again real soon. You take good care.
Thanks, Ron. Thanks again.
You're very welcome. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. We are back right after this. Welcome back. Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. And once again, thanks to Jennifer Grabowski. And if you're looking for more information about OBD2, get out to Actron Scan Tools. It was Actron Scan Tools? Actron.com. We'll look up the website. Tony, Tom, look up the website. Give me the website again before the end of the hour, and we'll plug that up there at the top. So let's get over to the phones. Let's go over to Charlie up there in Buckfield, Maine. I believe that is, and some comments and questions about oil changes. Charlie, is that correct? Is this Maine or is this Mass?
Maine, please.
Yes, Charlie. Well, I'm sorry. Yeah, come on now. So we don't want to start that whole Massachusetts. I've noticed that. The guys from Massachusetts and Maine, it's worse than the North and the South. But anyway, how can I help you today, Charlie? What's going on?
Carbug here. I've got three Toyotas. One of them's a brand new Camry SE. Okay, brand new. So the dealer says to me, you got free oil for 2 years. They only change it at 10,000. That's the first question. What do you think of their deal?
Well, what oil filter are they putting in it?
I imagine a Toyota.
Okay. You know, it's funny. I had a phone call this week with a friend of mine, very good friend of mine, Jay Buckley. Jay Buckley is the Bendix Brake Answer Man. He's also the Fram oil filter guy. And we had a great conversation about filters and so forth. And, you know, suffice it to say, at the end, I got some education, and I'm glad that he called me. And I now know that Fram makes an oil filter that is silicon-based. It's a silicon-based drain-back valve, and it's special fiber filtration. And he's sending me paperwork and documentation on it. It's their Ultra filter, and it's rated to go 15,000 miles, flat out on the box. 15,000 miles. On the box, it says 15,000 miles. So finally, somebody showed me an oil filter that somebody's going to stick their neck out and say, here's the mileage interval. I tip my hat to them. The Toyota dealer, and I said, okay, so what are the manufacturers using? He said, give me a for instance. And I said, Toyota. He said, Toyota makes a great 7,500-mile oil filter. And after that, it's questionable. So, you know, here we are. Now ask your question again. I'll ask it for you. It's a 10,000-mile interval. How are they doing that on a filter that's been generally accepted as rated by at 7,500 miles? You know, part of the education I got this week was that the mileage rating on filters are dependent upon grams per mile and what the engine will produce and what the filter will absorb before it reaches saturation point and then goes into bypass mode where it's no longer filtering. So, you know, in the past, I've always based my comments about filter life and length and how far they will go on, you know, the average consumer. So to answer your question, Charlie, if they put a filter on their rated for 10,000 miles and they use oil rated for 10,000 miles and you're willing to check the oil level every 1,000 miles after five, because we're going to go back to the way it was in 1963 where we're starting to check oil on a regular basis. Yeah, I'm okay with a 10,000-mile oil change. But, and I think I just heard hell freezing over, but, okay, there's you got to follow those caveats. There's no way, okay. There's no way you're ever going to convince me 10,000-mile oil interval and never lift the hood. Now, maybe on a brand-new car in that first 10,000, and maybe the second 10,000, but after 20,000 miles on any given car with a proper oil filter and proper oil, I still expect somebody to get under the hood on a regular basis. And here is the biggest problem, okay? I'm an independent repair shop owner. I'm a mechanic. Charlie brings me his car, and it used to be I'd see that car every 4 or 5 months, and I'd change the oil, and I'd get to look under the hood, and I'd look at all the other fluids, and I would get to test the battery going into the winter, and I would get to, you know, check coolant protection and all that good stuff. And some of that's dated. I get it. But in general, I had a, you know, I was under the hood and I knew Charlie's car was good for the next 4 or 5 months. All right. Now you're going to go 10,000 miles. How long is it going to take you to go 10,000 miles, Charlie?
In that particular car, that's at least a year.
Okay. So are you going to be comfortable driving that car for 1 year without having a mechanic look under the hood?
Well, I'm not. That's why I'm kind of touching base with you.
Okay.
I'm old school.
And then when you bring it into my shop and you say, Ron, I don't want the oil change because I've got a 10,000 mile rated filter and I've got a 10,000 mile rated oil in it. All right. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they are out there. The industry's headed towards a 20,000 mile oil change, and that's a whole nother conversation. All right. But you know, when you bring that into my shop and you say, Ron, check the fluids, check the battery, do the normal service things, Charlie, I've got to charge you money. I can't do that for free, right?
Exactly.
My time is worth something. So the 15 minutes of time, the $25 or whatever the number is that I'm going to charge you, how does that equate to the oil change that you're missing? Hold that thought. We're going to pull away and take a pause, and I'll finish this when I return. 855-560-9900. The Car Doctor's coming right back. Don't go away. Welcome back. Ron and Nene, the Car Doctor, feeling good here, talking to you about your car problem at 855-560-9900. We're going to finish up with Charlie from Buckfield, Maine. Charlie, you're still there, sir?
I am.
So the bottom line comes back to talking about extended oil drain intervals. You know, it's a problem. So we're going to make that oil drain interval longer. And I'm not comfortable without having somebody look under the hood. I don't think you are either. And I'm willing to bet that most of the people out there listening to me today are not comfortable without somebody looking under the hood. So what is the value of that extended oil drain interval? I'm not really sure. But like I said, the important part is got to have a good oil filter on there. Wix makes a great extended range oil filter. We can use a Wix. We can use Pennzoil Synthetic. And we can go the distance. And as long as we're using good quality oil, good quality filter, you want to go 10,000 miles? Go ahead. As long as the oil and the filter are rated for it. I have no problem with that. But then you got to ask yourself, what happens to those service intervals where fluids get checked, tire pressure gets checked, and you know everything else that's normally looked at? We had somebody come into the shop yesterday. We do this show live Saturday, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time on the network. It goes out across the affiliates afterwards. And came into the shop yesterday afternoon, 3:30 on a Friday. TPMS light was on. They weren't our customer. They're now our customer because we gave them service, but we put air in the tires. Somebody hadn't done tire pressure in 7 months because they had an extended range oil change. What do you do with that? You know, it's pulled a guy off of a job, stopped what we were doing on a Friday afternoon, went out and serviced somebody. You can't do that, make a living, and expect to be there the next week because the bank doesn't want to hear, well, we put air in Mrs. Smith's tires, and that's why we can't make the mortgage this month. So, you know, that doesn't work. Last question, real quick.
I'll throw this at you real quick. Mobil 1's come out with a 20,000-mile one. They're no oil, twice the price.
And you know
Did
what?
You
and
that?
Well, you know, it's we're back to, and I'm not going to be surprised when Pennzoil comes out with extended range oil change or extended range oil. And the problem still comes back to, how comfortable are you not having somebody? That would be 2 years somebody doesn't look under the hood of your car, Charlie. How comfortable are you going to be then? And the other thing to remember, and we seem to forget this, we are all so adamant about how long can we go on an oil change. I never hear anybody talking about, I change my transmission fluid, my coolant, my brake fluid, I rotate my tires. We forget about the other maintenance that the car needs, and that's a problem because we're only focused on the engine. There'll be more to come on this, I'm sure. But till the next hour, I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor, reminding you, good mechanics aren't expensive, they're priceless. See ya.